105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the BizConnect radio show on this beautiful sunny day today. As always, we've got two super guests in the studio with us. We're going to ask them to introduce themselves in a minute. But just by way of a little bit of background, today we're going to be talking about education and all of the very exciting, fabulous new opportunities being afforded to young people to further their education today. We've got, as I said, two guests with us to talk about that theme. To my right, we have...
Hi, I'm Jonathan Smith. I'm Director of Stakeholder Engagement at EKC Group. It's really great to be here.
Fantastic to have East Kent College Group here today. Thanks, Jonathan. And to my left...
Savina Venkova, Circular Economy Manager at HSSMI, and equally thrilled to be here.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Savina. I know you've come all the way from London today, and you've braved the weather, as it were. Normally we'd be saying, you know, brave the cold, but of course you've braved the heat to be here. So well done today. And we're going to be talking very much about the partnership, obviously, between you guys, HSSMI and East Kent College Group, and how you've got together to work towards a greener manufacturing industry in Kent, which is fantastic. So do stay with us. Packed show as always, but I think what we'll do for now is play a little bit of music, and when we come back we're going to talk straight with Jonathan. So stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the BizConnect, a radio show today. As we were saying before the break, we've got two super guests with us. We've got Jonathan Smith from East Kent College Group, and Jonathan is the Director of Stakeholder Engagement at the college. And we also have Savina Venkova from Manufacturing Consultancy, HSSMI, joining us today as well in the studio, and she's come all the way from London, so we're very privileged to have you, Savina. But Jonathan, I'd like to start with you if we can. Please tell us a little bit about your role as Director of Stakeholder Engagement and what that actually involves, please, in layman's terms.
So EKC Group is a college of six college family across East Kent. My role is predominantly looking after stakeholders and our key partnerships, our strategic partnerships, and ensuring that we are aligned with what industry is requiring in terms of skills, but also looking around our civic leadership duties around delivering back to the local economy as well.
Mm. Now that's a really interesting point, isn't it? So making sure that you're aligned with what ultimately businesses are wanting in terms of an output, I guess, through the college group in terms of students' preparedness for life at work, ultimately.
Yes, definitely. And that's across all of our sectors. So we work really closely with businesses in the localities, ensuring that the conversation with them is around what are their skills needs, and also marrying that up with what are the requirements for future skills that are coming through emerging technologies, decarbonisation, some of those greener skills as well. So it's a balance about working through with industry and local stakeholders about what that means, and ensuring that we're producing, you know, the right skills.
Because I guess, you know, in the past, apprenticeships, for example, you know, businesses have kind of been quite critical at times, I think it's fair to say, of apprenticeships in terms of the skills that you know, students have been learning at college, and their kind of their relevance, if you like, in the workplace today. But what you're talking about is a very it sounds like a very modern, very kind of contemporary approach to you know, vocational learning.
Yes, definitely. So there are a number of other opportunities for young people to work with businesses, things like T-levels that are just coming online from the government. But, you know, just our students having access to work experience, social action, there's a whole range of things that we need to work in the businesses, and making sure that in the locality that's actually happening.
Brilliant. So I'd like to talk about something that we mentioned at the start of the show that's kind of coming down the pipe, which is these learning zones, which is a new initiative. Just tell us a little bit about how that has come about, Jonathan, and what that actually is in terms of, you know, a business engagement presence on the ground, as it were. What are these learning zones? How did that come about?
Well, you'd be aware that the government has been pushing the levelling up agenda for the last year, and that's given us access to some capital funding and revenue funding. And the three Kent colleges, Mid Kent, North Kent and ourselves, EKC Group, put a bid in back end of last year to acquire some of the capital funding. And we were really successful. We, as a group, we secured £1.5 million worth of funding that will enable us to create these two learning zones, one at Ashford and one at Canterbury, really focusing on decarbonisation, sustainability and looking at what that future skills are, requirements are for both industry and ourselves.
Fantastic. So am I right in thinking one is going to be engineering focused and the other one more manufacturing focused? Is that right?
Yeah, so, well, blended slightly different. We've also included robotics as well. Mm-hmm. So the Canterbury Learning Zone has a whole range of robotics arms, so looking at automation within manufacturing and engineering, mechatronics as well, VR. So we've also we've also bought some other kit that can 3D scan factories, so businesses come and have a look at what their factory looks like before they invest in this kit as well.
Amazing. And so it's not just about, it's not really just there for the benefit of the students in terms of making sure that they've got all the kind of latest skills and access to the latest technology, but it's also there for businesses to kind of come in and look at this new tech and see whether or not it might be relevant in their business ultimately as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You know, so some of this kit is quite expensive. So having the opportunity to come in and actually have a look at it, play around with it before you make that investment is one of the key USPs for this zone. Mm.
Fantastic. And I'll bring Savina in there because obviously that I guess is at the core of your relationship at HSSMI with the college group. Is that right in terms of the advice and the workshops that you've been facilitating around that, Savina?
Yeah, certainly. So we were part of the team that helped advise on what equipment was best suited, both for businesses and students. But that was very much informed by a few events we ran that essentially the first one was focused on decarbonization and the skills needed to achieve that. Mm-hmm. And the second was focused on digital skills. And those sessions where we invited businesses to talk about their needs and their experience and trying to bring those skills into their businesses really helped inform the type of equipment that we then brought into the learning zones.
Yeah, amazing. And I know, Jonathan, am I right in thinking that you'll have an electric and assisted vehicle kind of centre at Canterbury College as part of this as well?
Yes, we've also invested in electric vehicle equipment. So, again, that's a key driver to ensure our students are being taught the right skills for some of the new things that are coming through.
I think that's one of the sort of the biggest kind of fears that EV owners have these days, isn't it? So what if something goes wrong? You know, where do I or how do I get it serviced? I mean, let's say you buy a second-hand electric vehicle that's perhaps out of its warranty. It's like, well, I can't just take it to my local garage because they're not necessarily trained in how to service it, but you'll be helping, bring the next generation of mechanics along in terms of EV skill set, I guess.
Yes, definitely. And we're working with lots of local garages and partnerships around that and building that pipeline of young people coming through.
Which I think is brilliant. That's what it's all about. It's just relevance, isn't it, for today's world. Fantastic. Good. So these learning zones, where are we actually, where are they going to be, Jonathan? Where are they situated? We mentioned Canterbury College there in terms of the kind of the EV setup and training setup there. But what's going on at Ashford, for example?
So we've got a similar setup at Ashford. So we've got robotics again going in there. I've also bought CNC machines, industry up-to-date mills. Again, VR equipment, so we can do virtual reality, augmented reality as well, so HoloLens, so people can sort of look at things through those. So some really exciting kit that's coming.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And in terms of the timings, when all of this is going to go live, I mean, it's been a fairly sort of short time frame, hasn't it, from you bidding for this money in the first instance to actually getting these facilities up and running and open. So what sort of time frame are we talking about here? When did you put that initial sort of bid in and when will you actually be open?
So we put the bid in last August. Wow. We awarded the money in November. us, so we've had a sort of 6 month turnaround, so it's been tight. So we've lent on HSSMI to support us with the design aspect to that. We've also had another consultancy help us and some local business engagement KPS who've also supported the project as well. So it's been a really key sort of strategic partnership that's driven this forward.
And with a view to being open for the next school year, is it?
Yeah, in September.
Fantastic. So presumably you're going to be proactively talking to businesses now behind the scenes to get them kind of interested in all of that and get them kind of signed up and using it, I guess, ultimately as well.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of business engagement work and sort of the background and getting employers and stakeholders input in the kit as well. So we haven't just gone out and bought, you know, expensive equipment. You know, we've been working with industry about what their requirements are as well. So, but we are looking to do the official launch in September. So, you know, have all the employers there, students, and we're going to make have a really good day on that.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Great. Well, look, I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit of music. And when we come back, Savina, I'd like to talk to you more about your role at HSSMI and what you guys do really as a manufacturing advisory consultancy and what your kind of core skill set is. Because I know you're very involved with the circular economy and sustainability, for example. So I'd really like to kind of explore that in a bit more detail as well. So do stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today. We've got an education and manufacturing theme to our show today. We've just been talking with Jonathan Smith, who is the Director of Stakeholder Engagement at East Kent College Group, about a fantastic new Learning Zone initiative that they've got going and launching in September. What I'd like to do now is bring in Savina Venkova, who is a consultant at HSSMI, who are focused very much on manufacturing and green manufacturing in today's economy. And they've partnered with East Kent College Group to bring these Learning Zone initiatives to life. But Savina, if I can turn to you and ask you to tell us a little bit about HSSMI, please, who you are and what you do fundamentally as a consultancy.
Sure. So we are a manufacturing consultancy that has primarily three aims. It is to increase manufacturers' productivity, to increase their efficiency, and to help them on their journey to net zero, specifically via the principles of the circular economy. And we're about 10 years old, and we're based in London, Birmingham, and Scotland. And we work across a range of sectors and types of work. So we do manufacturing strategy, for example. We don't only work with electric vehicle batteries, which is what we've mentioned today, but we also do work on hydrogen, for example, and digital tools. So we're quite interdisciplinary, and we do quite a bit of interesting work.
So you mentioned circular economy there at the beginning. Just what do we mean by the circular economy, and fundamentally, how is that different to the economic model that we've been pursuing since the Industrial Revolution in this country, for example?
That is a great question. So it provides an alternative, and it's a necessary alternative because, as we can see, trends are showing now, all kinds of trends from price increases, price volatility, and the problems that, you know, such as climate change are showing that we can't run an economy based on the linear model of take, make, dispose. Because you're running an economy based on you know, infinite growth but limited resources. Mm-hmm. And what the circular economy tries to do is really provide an alternative to that, where you're taking concepts that aren't that old, concepts such as recycling or remanufacture or repair, and you're putting practices from those ideas in place in order to drive the economy. And it's it works in manufacturing, and it works across a range of sectors.
So instead of thinking about waste in our business, we need to think about how a byproduct of our production process can actually be turned into something useful as a raw material, perhaps for someone else? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, sure. So, for example, if you think about sustainable aviation fuels, in the UK, there's one project that we worked on where they're taking waste from airports that isn't very easy to recycle and turning it directly into aviation fuel.
Mm.
So that's kind of a very easy example to understand.
So, like a biofuel. Or,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, ethanol-based biofuel.
Uh-huh. So, was that food waste from the airport, or
it was just all the general waste that people throw out? You know, bottles, cans.
Wow.
Packaging, mm-hmm. All of that. And in airports, it is very difficult to separate out because people just don't behave that way, and it's difficult to change their behavior.
Uh-huh.
So that's why airport waste is a really good candidate.
Fantastic. Okay, good. So in terms of, specific projects that you guys are engaged with, I mean, Jonathan mentioned electric vehicles and having an electric vehicle, an assisted vehicle kind of training center at Canterbury College moving forwards. I know you've been working on a very interesting project as well in terms of battery recovery, lithium-ion battery recovery. So tell us a little bit about that, if you can. That sounds quite fascinating.
Sure. So we actually work with a range of existing and potentially future battery manufacturers, so large OEMs, but also small emerging companies in the space. And one project that we worked on was essentially to try to understand and map out what the recycling processes and supply chain for that would look like in the UK, because manufacturers do need to account for how they're going to dispose of these batteries under legislation. But believe it or not, that infrastructure to manage the batteries doesn't actually exist in the UK.
Mm.
And so as these companies are building up to ramp up production of electric vehicles, they also need to consider how they're going to recycle them or remanufacture them if they're ready for that.
So instead of, the typical model there would be car comes to the end of its life, goes to the scrapyard.
Yeah.
And that's not an option. That's what we're
no,
saying.
No, that's not an option, because the battery is a high, it's under legislation, it's classed as, you know, a hazardous waste.
Yes, explosive and fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also thinking of it from a commercial perspective, those batteries contain such valuable materials. Mm. Why, you know, and already we see, before the market's even fully developed, we see companies changing their strategy based on decreasing availability of lithium and increased prices of lithium. So why would you dispose of something that's such high value?
It's very high profile, isn't it? I think the whole kind of electric vehicle market, you know, people pointing the finger at that and saying, well, you know, the technology isn't sustainable at all in terms of the mining that's required for the rare metals and everything else. But I guess, you know, what you're doing is you're very much at the forefront of developing new innovation that will make that more sustainable ultimately. We know that, you know, not burning fossil fuels is, you know, the way forward in terms of, you know, CO2 emissions and greenhouse gases. But we haven't got the full 360 degree circular economy model to kind of support, you know, that the kind of the mass adoption of EVs at the moment. But unless we innovate, you know, we're not going to kind of get there, are we? So it is chicken and egg, but we have to start somewhere, I guess.
Yes, definitely. And there's loads happening, and the UK government has also spent or has committed to spend a lot in terms of in government-funded R&D projects.
Mm.
But we're also really encouraged that a lot of customers are coming to us and taking us up on circular economy maturity assessments. So we essentially help them strategize and plan out and build a roadmap to get them to their desired state of, say, remanufacturing or recycling or what have you.
Yeah, and a lot of that is about sort of, I guess, finding symbiosis between different industries and businesses, and being able to say, well, look, if you guys work together here, these guys are producing something that they don't actually need ultimately. It's a sort of a byproduct or what would have been a waste product as part of their production process. But you guys can come on board and you can actually take that directly and do something with it.
The collaboration is really key across the value chain. Yeah,
fantastic. Now, I know you're also working on a plastics project as well. So tell us a little bit about that. Plastic is one of those sort of not much talked about kind of areas in the economy. Always, you know, much maligned in terms of our exporting of 2/3 of our plastic waste to other countries to for them to kind of process and manage. So tell us a little bit about this project that you're involved with to kind of perhaps address that.
Sure. It's called the PET Full Loop Project, and it's a government-funded R&D project funded by UKRI. And it's in collaboration with Veolia, Unilever, and Charpak. And essentially, at its essence, it aims to build a new recycling facility to recycle plastic trays, which aren't recycled in the UK at the moment. Mm-hmm. But we are involved from an innovation perspective because we would like to help the facility once it's built to optimize by implementing a digital twin. And the reason that that's innovative is the waste industry is quite manual, and it
has to be sorted, doesn't
it? Mm. And it's the only manufacturing system. If you think of the waste or a recycling facility as a manufacturing system, it's the only one that relies on input from people like you and me. Mm. It's very difficult to control. So having
on a conveyor belt or whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so having a digital twin and using it effectively, which is more important, is what can really help the facility optimize a lot quicker and help recycle the plastic better.
Fantastic, good. So there's clearly some fantastic and very innovative projects that are kind of taking place at the moment, which is brilliant. What I'd like to do when we come back after the break is just kind of bring the two of you together, really, in terms of your collaboration around green manufacturing and sustainability with the College Group and yourself, Savina. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the Biz Connect radio show today. As we were saying before the break, we were talking with Savina Venkova about the manufacturing consultancy HSSMI and her work there as the circular economy manager, helping businesses to develop more sustainable manufacturing practices. We've got Jonathan Smith with us as well, who is director of stakeholder engagement at East Kent College. And what I'd like to try and do now, guys, if we can, is bring the two of you together in terms of your collaboration and partnership, as it were, you know, live on the ground. So, Jonathan, I guess, you know, ultimately, having applied for you know, levelling up fund money and being successful there and kind of made a commitment in terms of what you're going to do, you then, you know, came to the realisation ultimately that, you know, green manufacturing, sustainable manufacturing, state-of-the-art manufacturing isn't necessarily, you know, your core skill set, and therefore you needed to partner with an outside organisation like HSSMI in order to bring all of that to life.
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, strategically, we sat down and mapped everything out and who we needed to have conversations with. And I reached out to MTA, which are the Manufacturing Association, and a gentleman there called Josh Conney put me in contact with David Stewart, who's the director at HSSMI. And, you know, we spoke through what we needed, and, you know, it was a perfect match. They could give us the vision and also, you know, advice around the equipment and all the new concepts and modelling that's coming through.
Yeah. And Savina, on that level, I mean, when it comes to equipment, I would imagine, you know, it's a sort of, you could spend as much money as you wanted to in the manufacturing space in terms of driving efficiency, you know, driving sustainability. You know, we're talking about fairly significant kind of capital investment here. Is the investment that's been made and that you've helped the college kind of make and guide them on, is this kind of investment that is generic and can be used across a number of different industries, for example, or is it specific to certain types of manufacturing businesses?
It's definitely not specific to certain types of industries. You know, when we think about sensors, for example, that can be used by any manufacturer, big or small, to drive, for example, efficiencies in heat. And also similarly, VR and AR can be used in a range of different industries. And actually, I'd say for things like virtual reality, where you think it would be more suited toward a big industry, actually, it can help smaller industries envision how they could change things.
Okay, Jonathan.
Yes, and I think also, you know, even within the colleges itself, when we're talking about the sensors, you know, that's across disciplines of our curriculum. So where we're retrofitting engineering machines, our data science students can read that, get rich data and use that part of their course as well. So actually it's across all of our curriculum areas as well.
Yeah. So in terms of, so I'm a manufacturing business out there, for example. I'm looking to drive efficiency in my operations. I'm looking to kind of rationalize my operations. Traditionally, I might have just started a new line, for example, and thrown bodies at that, which I can't do anymore because there just isn't the workforce available. So in terms of kind of helping me visualize that, you mentioned virtual reality. Can you actually create my factory floor, for example, and actually show me how it might look like or might operate using less people, but actually having invested in some new technology and some new machinery, some new plant, for example?
Yeah, you can definitely use virtual reality for that. It can help you visualize how a new plant might look like, whether you'll have robots or humans or something in between called cobots.
Cobots, I like that.
So basically it's a human with kind of a robot attached to them in a way, in a safe way, obviously. And you can essentially go through a range of different scenarios without ever having to commit to the investment, and you can test all of those scenarios.
So that for me, there's huge value in that, in terms of, you know, being able to kind of do all of that research, do all of that work without actually disrupting my kind of current business process and flow and factory output, for example. So there's got to be huge value in that, hasn't it? And Jonathan, is that very much where you're kind of pitching this on a kind of a business engagement level? You want to work with businesses that, you know, ultimately, you know, want to drive their business forward in a more sustainable, more efficient, you know, productivity kind of driven way. And you know, you can plug them directly into this ultimately.
Yes, definitely. And that's what the investment in the equipment's about. It's allowing businesses to come in and have a play with it and work out what they want to do and start to sort of forward plan, you know, because we're a large SME market in East Kent.
Yeah.
So it's giving businesses that headspace to actually think, is this where I want to go? Is this the commitment I want to make as well? And alongside that, the skills that will, you know, naturally come with that.
Yeah, it's incredibly exciting. And then, Savina, you guys can obviously, you know, create a workshop specifically for a business to give them that taster, if you like, that kind of introductory session, and then if they want to follow that through, you can work with them you know, with the college independently of that, on a kind of bespoke level to actually implement a solution, I guess.
Yeah, sure. So we can help with a range of different approaches. So if a business has decided, for example, it wants a new plant and it's done all the VR around it and it's chosen the scenario it wants to work with, we can help them assess their business strategy around that and how to upscale it. But also on a practical level, because we work with so many manufacturers, we know the challenges of putting the nuts and bolts into place.
Yes.
Pardon the pun, but so we can help them with that, essentially the upscaling bit of growing. Yeah.
And building the business case for the investment ultimately as well, in terms of, you know, how long it's going to take, the actual capital investment and the payback period, I guess, ultimately, versus perhaps what they've got at the moment. So it needs to be kind of, you know, commercially viable ultimately, doesn't it? So exciting. And 3D printing as well, you know, it's something that I guess is becoming more and more accessible to businesses. You know, I was looking at a 3D printing kind of construction application the other day, where they were literally building a building, you know, through a 3D printer. You know, with kind of wet cement coming out the other end, you know, rather than some kind of plastic. So, Jonathan, is that something that will be installed as well?
Yes, we've invested quite a lot in 3D printing, sort of basic, intermediate, and then advanced as well.
Yeah.
And you know, again, that's for businesses to come and prototype new ideas on. So we've got this incubator hub where businesses, even startups, can come and, you know, open source their ideas and 3D print products and prototypes on that as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. So it really is a very dynamic and exciting space, I think, ultimately, isn't it, moving forwards. In terms of the students, presumably this will be built in as part of their curriculum as well, will it? If you enrol in a manufacturing course, for example, this will be part of your kind of weekly timetable in terms of access to this.
Yes, so the zones themselves, as I mentioned before, yeah, even if you're doing an arts course, you can come and use the 3D visual stuff, engineering we've spoken about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all disciplines across curriculum will have access to this new equipment. So
yeah, fantastic.
Really versatile, which really shows it can work across all disciplines in terms of businesses and skills.
I think that's going to frighten the number of employers, isn't it, when they kind of, you know, they hold an open kind of day or an interview day, and then the kind of the students rock up and they start talking about all this new technology and innovation, and you know, I can see a few employers sitting on the other side of the desk thinking, crikey, you know, we need to get ourselves up to speed with this, which is what you want ultimately, isn't it? You know, you want to be able to show to employers that, you know, the students that are coming out of the college are actually kind of prepared at a level that perhaps the business isn't even at yet. As opposed to being the kind of the other way around, you know, the business has moved on and they've been taught a load of skills that are actually redundant now.
Yes, definitely.
So it's getting ahead, isn't it? One step ahead of the curve there, which is really good.
And I think also around digitalisation as well, it's for businesses to think about staff or current employees that potentially, you know, there could be automation brought in. It's how do they pivot those roles and maybe turn them into something like a business analyst or, you know, and upskilling their current workforce as well around this new equipment.
That's really key, isn't it, I think, at the moment as well. And giving people, you know, a real kind of career path, you know, on the back of that, you know, rather than, you know, what might have been quite a kind of process-driven, you know, production line job previously, you know, with a higher level of staff turnover. So, brilliant, good. Well, look, we'll leave it there for the minute. I'd like to play a bit more music. But when we come back, Jonathan, I know there's so much going on at the college at the moment. You're picking up awards, you're opening restaurants, you're opening gardens. I want to talk about some of that work and your kind of recognition in that space as well as a higher education provider. So do stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final part of the Biz Connect radio show today. We've had a fascinating conversation with Jonathan Smith at East Kent College Group and Savina Venkova at manufacturing consultancy HSSMI, all about the future of education and manufacturing and business engagement. And I think, guys, there's some really exciting initiatives coming down the pipe with your learning zones this autumn. So really, really exciting there. And we'll have to get you back on to tell us how all of that is going. But Jonathan, what I'd like to do now, if we can, is focus in on some of the other great work that East Kent College Group are doing locally, in particular in Folkestone, because I know you're building a new campus at the moment. Is that right, ready for the new academic year?
We certainly are. We've just, it's halfway through now, so it should be ready sort of September time. So that's going to be replacing the old Folkestone College. It's a brand new state-of-the-art building. We've also got a restaurant that we've just launched beside that, Anne's Boutique Restaurant. So if anyone's in Folkestone, they should go and try.
You just picked up an award for that, didn't you? Was it a Taste of Kent Award, Best Newcomer Restaurant or something?
We did. That was a fabulous night and a really good recognition for what the restaurant has achieved so far already in its short term.
I noticed Graham commenting on that post on social media that he hadn't been invited. I hope you...
there was only limited tickets.
So catering is obviously a sort of a theme running through the college, because you've also got the wonderful hotel, the Yarrow Hotel, in Broadstairs as well. So tell us a little bit about how that model kind of works.
Yeah, so the Arrow Hotel is a four-star hotel based in Broadstairs, just beside our Broadstairs College. It's one of the top hotels in Kent now. It's been recognised for that. And it is essentially a training college for chefs and the front of house staff, silver service. So we've got young people on apprenticeships there. We've got young people working in the kitchens. It's an amazing place for people who are in Broadstairs to come and have a look. And, and it's a credit to these young people who are delivering, four-star hotel service as well as, running a commercial business. So it's a great model.
And like Anne's, I can come along and have a meal, presumably. So let's talk about Anne's. I mean, if I wanted to come along, for a meal, is it open 5 days a week? How does it work?
Yeah, so it's a commercial restaurant. Mm. So it's, fully staffed and running every day. Mm-hmm. So you come for lunches, you can come for dinners. The food's fantastic, and Sunday lunches are really good there as well.
Fantastic.
So.
And through the college, obviously, and the new campus opening up in Folkestone, you're going to be, training people directly to actually work in that restaurant and kind of get that practical skill set that they need to then be able to kind of, perhaps go and open their own restaurant, their own catering business, or ultimately, pursue a career in hospitality.
Yes, definitely. And that's why industry is so key to education. It's making sure that all of our curriculum areas have got access to, real learning opportunities. With businesses so they can then learn those skills and take them out.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Margate Digital as well, because you've taken a redundant building, a former department store, I believe, in Margate High Street, and you've turned that into a digital skills centre as well. So tell us a little bit about that, Jonathan.
Yeah, so we were successful in another levelling up bid. We won a substantial capital monies to refurb the department store in the heart of Margate High Street. It's going to be called Margate Digital. It's based on a Fab Lab model, so startup businesses can come along and, as I said earlier on, prototype new bits of equipment they may be thinking about buying or selling on, but also an incubator space for students to learn all around digital media. And it links really nicely to the Margate Creative Quarter and the Turner Contemporary and everything that's going on in Margate around the creative scene.
Fantastic. So a real kind of business link there as well in terms of practical advice and help and skill set training the future generation. And I just wanted to talk about coming back to Folkestone. Obviously, we had Ella Brocklebank from Jenna Construction on the radio with us a couple of months ago, and I know you work very closely with Jenna in the construction space as well, again through the college, building those links with industry and the students in terms of practical skill set and kind of ready for work ultimately. So construction is another kind of focus for you guys as well.
Yeah, it is. And we work very closely with Jenna on a number of projects in terms of them building our estate, but also giving opportunities for young people to work in that industry. And they're really key because they've got some really great links into that whole construction environment for us. Yeah. So, that's really power of partnership working there.
Yeah, fantastic. So I guess, ultimately, if you're a young person out there, perhaps you've just, finished your GCSEs recently and you're thinking about a career, whether it be in construction, whether it be catering, but I know your offering is obviously much, much broader than that. We've been talking about, sustainable and green manufacturing and digital moving forwards as well. You pretty much kind of cater for all kind of needs in that space.
Yes, definitely. And, come and have a conversation with us. Talk to us about, next steps. You can go onto the EKC Group website and come and talk to, one of our advisors about what that could mean. This is great industries out there that we have access to and real tangible opportunities.
Will you have an open day before September where people can come in and actually look around the college and...
Yes, we do a range of open days. There will be one around September time as well.
Fantastic.
Across all our colleges.
Fantastic. And, going back to what we were talking about earlier, as a business, if I want to get involved with your green manufacturing program, what's the best way to do that? Is it to make contact with you directly, Jonathan, in the first instance?
Yes, you can come to me. So it's just jonathan.smith@ekcgroup.ac.uk. Or you can go onto the website and,
You've got a section on there.
Haven't
you? Oh, and you can register. register your interest there as well.
Yeah,
fantastic.
There as well.
Brilliant. Well, look, guys, I think we've come to the end of the show today. Action-packed, as always, very informative. Some really exciting initiatives going on in obviously the education space, but more importantly also on a kind of on a tangible kind of commercial benefit level for businesses as well, I think, Savina, to kind of tap into all of that great work that's going on there. So thank you so much for joining us, Jonathan Smith and Savina Venkova.
Thank you. It's been great.
Lovely to have you with us. We will, of course, be back in 2 weeks' time. But for now, I think that's the end of the show. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.